you need something. So I'm in there going through all this crap. Everything you do is pretty much watched. You're basically the scum of the earth. Then I started to see, after I had all those issues getting to prison with the justice system, then I started to see the real way the justice system works, because now I'm seeing the people who are part of the justice system or who were affected by it. And here is where I saw the clear racial bias that goes on. Numerous, numerous times have I seen identical charges done by a white person and a black person. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but the white person always got a significantly less charge or sentence. Maybe even like say, for example, two people got caught with a bag of marijuana. You know, the white dude might got like 30 days and probation. The black dude might have got like 8 months, no probation. Or maybe even after that probation too, you know, which just, it's like ridiculous if you know anything about like society or anything like that. When you see this, like it's just setting up a certain demographic of our society to continually to be the bottom. You know, and it's just sad. There's that. That was a big thing for me that I noticed. And so why I have these issues with police and stuff now, it's because of this. I seen it happen firsthand. And a lot of times also I noticed that people get mad at me because I'll kind of play devil's advocate to a degree and try to rationalize the bad guy, like rationalize their actions. And I think that's because I'm looking for, like, to be just. I'm looking to be just. And it's not that I don't want... I don't believe the victims or this or whatever, but I want to be like, okay, you know, why did this happen? You know, what's the other person's side of the story? You know, what did they do? You know, and et cetera, because I had this experience. To me, I feel that this was probably, in hindsight now, I probably suffered some sort of like traumatic thing that has remained with me for this whole time. When I got out of jail, I was part of my, I had done, so I was put in there May 20th, 1996. My end date was May 20th, 2000. But I had ended up spending like 2 years in the jail, and then I did 2 years on state parole. Part of the parole part was going to see counseling, you know, but the counseling wasn't the counseling to deal with jail. You know, it was to deal with like what my crime was. You know what I mean? It wasn't counseling to deal with the trauma that one might occur, like the psychological trauma, the mental anguish or whatever that might occur while you're incarcerated. And the incarceration system is crazy because, you know, in theory, you're going in there and you're supposed to come out after a certain time and be a better citizen and this and that or whatever. But that ain't the case. There's no, the percentage of people that remain out of jail after going in is got to be extremely low. I mean, I managed to do it. I know one of my friends from jail had never been back also once he got out. Actually, the two people that I basically rolled with the most in there, when they got out, that was it. And they had similar charges to me. In fact, they had the exact same charges, now that I think about it. So, you know, it's very, very, very humbling experience when you come out and see how you're treated by the society. And even while you're in there, society is treating you like trash anyway, you know. I had to go on work release for a while, and that was, you know, garbage. You know, you have to go and try to get a job, right? So if you could imagine this, you're trying to get a job, but you're telling them that your address is the jail and that they have to, like, submit your hours to the jail for you to be released from the jail to go work your hours or whatever. So the only places that hire you are these places. I don't know now, but I can't imagine it changed all that much. But the general places that hire you are crap places to work, and they just want this kind of like this slave labor to do the most garbage jobs because they kind of can. You know, they have something over you, and they have like a slave master mentality. My friend and I, we worked at a place in New Jersey. It was right across the border. Northampton County borders the eastern border of Pennsylvania in New Jersey. So Phillipsburg is on the other side. And we worked at this place called Anchor Concrete, which is up a ways along the border. And we just did this like crappy yard work. Basically, like, they made pavers and this type of stuff. And, I mean, we started there just doing garbage. It paid well at the time. And I think we got it through the temp agency. The temp agencies typically work with people in the jail because it's kind of like a buffer zone between the employer and the jail. So it was just like the beginning of working there was like a hard experience. We worked, called my friend and I, don't want to say his name, because I don't really talk to him too much, so I'm not going to put him on blast, but we worked on this machine called the Tumbler, which if you buy paving stone, they have, at the time, it's pretty standard now, but at the time this new thing was coming out and it was like aged paving stone, so it looked like the stones were worn and weathered. So how they made them was that there was this big steel cylinder that was probably you can stand in it, so I mean it had been like 10 feet in diameter across the inside, and it would spin and you would, the one end, put in like pavers. So when pavers are made at this place, they made the pavers and everything was a whole complete system. So when the pavers come out of the assembly line, they're on these pallets that you might see at Home Depot or something, or if you ever seen any landscaping place, when you see the pavers, how they're shipped, they're on these pallets that are banded together and stuff. So at the one end, you would just, there'd be like this like belt or whatever that would, you know, you'd put the stack the pavers on and just kind of like wheel them into this machine, like this big tube that just spun. It rotated kind of slowly, and when the pavers went in, they just tumbled upon each other and like chipped up and like weathered and came out the other end. It might have been like the cylinder was maybe like 30 feet or 40 feet long, you know? And so me and this dude just like ran this machine and did this, and it was so, we got so filthy, because you got to imagine the dust coming out of this machine was horrible, you know? So that's kind of like how we started off at this place, and eventually we moved around and worked on the inside and then drove big machinery and stuff, which was, you know, pretty interesting. But, you know, just to show you the level of crap jobs and stuff and just things that you do to continue just to get out of the jail. Basically, you'd do anything, you know. It don't matter. That's why you see these people picking up the trash on the side of the highway and stuff. It's just like to get out. Because when you're in there, it sucks. It sucks so bad. You see pent up like anger or whatever, stress. Everyone's stressed. Even the guards are stressed. You know, it's like constant boiling pot, ready to blow at any moment, because you're dealing with people that are sentenced or waiting for sentencing, they're on trial or whatever, you know, they're dealing with their families, their loved ones, you know, just something like someone not coming to visit them or whatever, you know, money, getting money, what have you. All these things, when you have nothing, right, you have absolutely nothing, it sucks. And you can say, well, you know, even as a homeless person, you have something. You can go live under a bridge here. You can watch the sunrise. You can watch the sunset. You know, you can at least talk to some people. Can wander around. You know, these things you can't do. You know, what you're going to pace back and forth on a 10-foot, you know, line in your cell. Look out this tiny window. See nothing. You can't. You smell like. So much of life, many of us just overlook, and, you know, it's denied to a great number of people in our society, and for stupid stuff, stupid things, the crooked system, it's really sad, unfortunately. So I got out, I did that, I went on work release. I remember just getting on work release was something, because I was like, wow, I can actually go out, you know? Like, I can kind of be like a normal person, but, you know, I had to go back to the jail at night. And the work release building was a separate building from the main jail. But it was still crappy, you know, and it's kind of worse because you just get a taste of what it's like to be outside and then you got to go back. So you can't really build any friendships or relationships, not necessarily like, you know, love relationships, but just any sort of relationship or friendship, because you have to then, you can't be like, hey, you want to come out, like, at work or something, you know, like, typically how common relationships are, it involves like a social aspect, which builds, you know, out of say like a work relationship or whatever, but it involves like either after work hanging out or whatever, you know, and you can't do that. And then it creates like an awkwardness. Well, why can't you come out with us? Well, because I gotta be back in the jail, you know, in like 20 minutes. You know, so it's like, oh, why can't you want to come out and hang out with us at my house? Can we hang out at your house? Well, actually, right now I don't have a house because I'm living in the jail. You know, so it's like these weird things that people don't really think about, you know, and that's the reality. So to be out of that whole thing now, I went on parole, I guess it was in 98, so it's like 20 years now that I haven't been in the jail. It's something. It's something to reflect upon. And, you know, now my life is different. I've got kids and married and a house and this type of stuff and a relatively decent job. But I look back to that time when, you know, I really did, it was like crap. And it probably took me to, it probably took me leaving the U.S. for 3 years, living in another country, coming back to the U.S., going through a bunch of crap jobs. So I got off of parole on May 20th, 2000, right? So that was the end of my sentence. I was complete. Everything was done. So from that time until I left the U.S. to work overseas, I left the U.S. in the beginning of 2006, right? During that whole time, I had crap jobs. I was doing landscaping and worked in call centers because I still had to put, I was still in that window of you have to put, you know, you were convicted of a misdemeanor, you know. Some places ask for a misdemeanor, some ask for a felony. If you get a place that asks for a felony, you're good because you don't have to put it down. But mine was a misdemeanor, so most places have that. And typically, it's like in the past 7 years, so you got to put that down. So it was something, but it took me coming back to the U.S. After 3 years, which was now still in the 10-year window, right, of some places asked for the past 10 years, right? So now it's like the end of 2009, I'm back here looking for a job, and, you know, I ended up working at Walmart, you know, because of this. And now, you know, I'm past that and everything, and you know where I work if you know me or if you listen to this at all. So, you know, that was while the sentence was 18 to 48 months, the ramification of that is definitely lifelong. I feel that I've become numb to a lot of things in society because of this experience. You know, a lot, kind of like a lack of empathy towards things that, you know, most people would be like, you know, maybe more concerned over or what have you. To me, it's just like, okay, whatever. I'm very, kind of very realistic, or like a realist in that sense. And I believe this was from this experience that I went through. Because prior to that, I wasn't like this. Prior to that, I was very, very, I would say, on the real left, free-going, anything-goes type of person. And we did literally anything, you know. I lived that life, not anything in, like, insanity, anything, but just I was a very, very open person to anyone. I had spent, I took art classes out west in San Francisco, so I, you know, experienced that type of lifestyle. But coming out of this now, it was different, and it took like a while to sink in, and then a couple more years to like go through and kind of like find a rebalancing point, which I'm at now. But I see with other people that I know coming out of the jail or a prison sentence that I know through social media or whatever, because I don't really know anyone in person now. My life is beyond that to know, like, street people like that, unless I see them at my job, you know, to really, like, kind of give them advice and, you know, kick it to them and be real, like, look, you know, it's gonna suck, you know, or I'll support them by not looking at them like crap and not treating them like crap. And that's just because I remember what it's like to be treated like crap, you know, and it sucks. The whole experience sucked. So you might ask, well, do you wish that it never happened? And this is a good question, because when people know the whole story, they're typically like, there were key points. Like, the key point is I could have just had 6 months probation, but I decided to call out the injustice when they said, do you have anything to say during your sentencing? Well, I had something to say, and I called them out on it. So I remember someone asking me a couple years ago when I moved to here to Minneapolis, well, would you, like, not say that, or would you say something else? And it's interesting, because if I could say I would change what I said to get out of being in jail, but I would still end up at the point that I'm at now, I would say yes. Because jail sucked, but I came out of jail with a completely new perspective on life, in all manners. Like, not just like, oh, like, I value life and value freedom and this, but just the lens that I view our society from is completely different from that. And if I can keep that experience, or have gone through that in a different way where I didn't have to go to jail, I would. But unfortunately, I don't think that's possible. And also, in jail is when I converted to Islam, so that's a big thing. You know, I would imagine, and ultimately me, it's interesting, because me converting to Islam in jail ultimately led me to living in Morocco for 3 years, which was probably three of the best years of my life. You know, so if I had I had a 4-year sentence, but I did two of those years in the jail. You know, we can think maybe it was balanced out by the 3 years I lived in Morocco, which by far was probably some of the best times of my life. And I really hold that there's a special spot in my heart that I hold for those people that I met in Morocco, the Moroccans, and even the expats that I met there. Anyone who I came across, I love them. And I talk about it to my wife all the time, that if it's possible ever to have like a retirement home or something there, that's what I would do. You know, so there is that. You know, there is my perspective on life now has a direct response or direct those actions of me going to jail and dealing with that directly affect my life now and how I view things. So would I change it? I'd have to probably say no, you know, because even my wife, you know, knowing my wife, I wouldn't know my wife if I didn't go to jail, because in jail I became Muslim, which the only reason I met my wife was because I was Muslim, talking on the internet in a random, like, Islamic, like, forum or something, and I met my wife. So that would have never happened, which ultimately would never happen to me living in Minneapolis and me having my kids. You know, I'm sure I would have met some other woman and probably had some other kids. But, you know, when you think about it in this steps, the people that I know now in Minneapolis, you know, my friends here, reality is if we go back, if I didn't, you know, do this, I wouldn't... you know, be in touch with these people now and live in this life that I'm living and have experienced. I traveled getting out of jail. I mean, since then, I've traveled to probably like 7 different countries, you know, these types of things. And maybe it's because I was in jail. You know, maybe that's the reason why. And it was like, you know what, that was such a shitty experience. And I felt so low in society, and you are. I mean, that's low. That's the low. You can't do anything. All your rights are gone. Your everything is controlled. Maybe that like led me to want to experience life more and get out of that area. It impacted me so much that I can't even live in that. I can never live in my hometown or the area around it because it affects me so much that I can't go back there. To me, that area, Allentown, Bethlehem and Easton area, the Lehigh Valley, feels to me like a bowl, like a pit, you know. It feels small compared to you know, what I've now experienced in life. So, man, it's I can go on and on. I realized I kind of ranted and didn't really stay on topic about the jail experience itself. But, you know, it is what it is. It was a crappy time. I would never recommend or want that experience put on anyone, even if I don't like the person. And there's only a few people I don't really like, but I still wouldn't want them to you know, have to be put through jail in the long term, you know. Because once you're in the system, something can happen in jail that just keeps you in there, and it's an endless cycle. And watch these shows if you know, to see it happen. Like, people always go in there with like, oh, you know, I only had like 12 months sentence when I went in, but I ended up being in there for like 10 years because someone did something stupid, or, you know, someone threw a punch at me and I had a fight, and now I got another charge, and, you know, they add more time. It's just the sickening, demoralizing, dehumanization process that goes on. And basically, you know, it's like it seems that they're looking to get you. You know, they're looking to put you in jail. They're looking to demoralize you. Maybe it's like for some self-gratification of themselves. But when you look at our society now, it's just completely jacked up. And I seen this starting. I mean, it's been going on, but from my life, this stuff that we have about police now and all this, like, I seen it happening back in 1996, 1997. We saw it happening. I experienced it firsthand. Like I said, the problem is that the public doesn't see it, right? The public doesn't see it. So if you're not seeing it, or you're not experiencing it, you're not really, you know, you might second guess it, or you might look for, you might question, like, well, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? They doctor the proof. They doctor the evidence. The media spins it a certain way or whatever. And that's that. So I'll end it here for now. Probably continue more about this at some other time. And I was just thinking about it, and it's a lot to unpack, and I just briefly touched the surface, but I went an hour in doing that, and I feel I only hit maybe like 3 or 4 points in that, but there's a lot of experiences there, 4 years of time that can be and hopefully will be discussed over more time. So that's it for now. Have a good one. Peace be unto you.